Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are focusing our energy on a concept central to the multi-trillion dollar automotive industry, vehicle availability.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking at global shipping trends or raw material shortages today. Nope. We're drilling down into the most local, immediate tension defined by our sources.
That's right. And the sources we have shared with you, they're highly specific about this.
Yeah.
They take these fundamental economic forces, supply and demand, and place them squarely into a very specific battleground,
mm-hmm.
the local car dealership.
Right.
The entire premise, you can see it straight from the source title, says vehicle availability, mm-hmm. supply and demand at dealerships.
Okay. So our mission then is to move past just the obvious definition. I mean, everyone knows supply and demand exists, right?
Sure.
What we need to understand is why the sources characterize managing vehicle availability as a defined, well, challenge. There's the subhead we're unpacking. The challenge of vehicle availability, how dealerships balance supply and demand.
Yeah.
We need to analyze the friction points that make that balance, you know, so demanding.
And what's fascinating, I think, is the immediate localization of the problem. It's right there. The sources are implicitly arguing that while, sure, manufacturers control the upstream volume, the challenge of availability as you, the customer, experience it and how the retailer feels it financially is fundamentally a dealership problem.
Okay, let's unpack that localization then. The analysis doesn't seem to center on Detroit or Tokyo. It specifically names dealerships. Why is the dealership the key, the critical junction point for this whole analysis? Why not upstream?
Well, the dealership is the junction because that's where inventory, actual cars on the ground, translates directly into operational cost and customer fulfillment, or lack thereof.
Right.
The source places the weight of the challenge right
mm-hmm.
there because of two critical factors unique to retail. First, it's the place where customer demand is met, or, you know, instantly thwarted. You walk in, they have it or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Second, it's the location where the financial risk of that inventory actually lives.
Mm.
Often tied up in something called floor plan financing.
Floor plan financing. Okay, that's a perfect technical detail that immediately elevates this. For those listening who might be unfamiliar, floor plan financing, it basically means the dealership is borrowing money to purchase the inventory sitting on their lot, right?
Exactly.
And they pay interest on those cars until they sell them.
Exactly. And this context, it really shows why the balancing act is a challenge, not just some logistical exercise.
Yeah.
Think about it. If a manufacturer builds too many, say, black sedans, but the local demand is all for red SUVs, well, the dealership carries the cost of that mismatch in the form of interest payments on those unsold black sedans. So the challenge of maintaining availability suddenly becomes this direct daily cost management problem tied to credit, not just, you know, having space for the cars.
So the dealership is where this theoretical tension of supply and demand becomes like a literal entry on a financial ledger.
Pretty much, yeah.
They're the immediate point of contact where customers either find what they want or they don't. And that failure costs them money, either in lost sales right then or in those interest payments piling up.
Precisely. It is the retail environment, that specific location, that necessitates this constant and, frankly, stressful optimization.
Okay, now let's move from the location, the dealership, to the mechanism itself. The core of this challenge is balancing these two sort of antagonistic forces, supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
We know supply is the inventory, demand is customer desire. But what specific metrics or maybe tools does the source material suggest are used to measure this balance in the car world? We need something more concrete than just a lot of cars or few buyers.
Right. The sources move pretty quickly past those abstract definitions. And they focus on an industry standard metric, days supply, or DS, as it's usually called.
DS, okay.
This is really the ultimate measure of that balance point we're talking about.
Right.
DS is essentially the estimated number of days it would take a dealership to sell its current inventory, given its recent sales rate.
Okay, simple example. If a dealership has 100 cars, and they typically sell 10 cars a day, their day supply is 10 days.
That's the calculation exactly. And what's critical here, and the sources point this out, is that there is no single universal optimal DS.
Ah.
The source data suggests that the optimal DS, it varies wildly based on the type of vehicle and the local market conditions. So, for example, a high volume, pretty standard truck might aim for maybe 60 to 90 DS.
Okay.
Whereas a very low volume specialized sports car, they might aim for 150 DS simply because they sell so rarely, it takes longer to find that buyer.
Okay, wow. So here is where the challenge truly becomes specific, isn't it? The dealership isn't balancing just one single ledger. They're trying to manage dozens of individual days supply calculations for every single trim, every color, every model they carry.
Yeah, right.
Knowing that that optimal balance point is constantly shifting around.
And this is compounded by the supply side, because the supply relies heavily on the manufacturer's allocation methods. Yeah, dealerships don't just, you know, order whatever they want like you'd order from a catalog. The manufacturer allocates vehicles based on things like past sales performance, the size of that dealer's local market, and critically, the efficiency of their inventory turnover.
Mm-hmm. Meaning how fast they actually sell the cars they receive.
Exactly. How fast they move the metal.
So, okay, if a dealership is constantly struggling with a really high DS, meaning they're slow to sell the cars they have, the manufacturer sees them as, what, poor performers?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
And that could potentially lead to reducing their future allocation, the cars they get sent next month.
Ah, so this creates a kind of vicious cycle then. Failing to sell today actually hurts their ability to get the cars they need to meet demand tomorrow.
That's the key tension right there. The supply side is, fundamentally, it can be punitive if the dealership fails to achieve that balance. If their DS is too high, they get penalized with financial costs, that interest, and potentially reduced future supply. But if their DS is too low, well, they've got lost sales and frustrated customers walking out the door. It's a tightrope.
Let's pivot then to the demand side of that equation. How do the sources suggest dealerships try to manage or forecast this highly fickle customer desire to try and hit that optimal DS target?
Well, the source material indicates that the successful dealerships, they really treat demand management as an intensive data science project now.
Right.
It's moved beyond just looking at last year's sales averages.
Right.
They rely on real-time market data segmentation. This involves factoring in local economic indicators, what competitors are doing, and increasingly using sophisticated software to track things like a website search behavior in their area, not just, you know, past registration data.
So the modern challenge of availability means a dealership in, say, Dallas isn't just ordering the most popular Ford F-150 trim generally for Texas.
No.
They're trying to order the specific configuration that their local zip codes are searching for online right now, trying to predict demand that might be really specific, maybe even seasonal.
Absolutely. The goal is always to reduce that forecasting error. The sources strongly suggest that poor forecasting, especially when it comes to specialized models or trims, is a leading cause of this imbalance challenge.
And if they misjudge demand...
If they misjudge it, they get stuck with the wrong inventory. That drives up their DS, which means, again, they're paying that floor plan interest on an unwanted car, and that just eats away at their profitability. Significantly.
We've established that failure here is definitely costly. Let's dive a bit deeper into the core challenge itself, but by looking at the specific consequences of failure, as implied by the sources. What's the actual financial hit for the dealership when that balance shifts too far one way or the other?
Okay, so if the balance shifts to overstocking DS too high, lots of availability, maybe too rich, the consequence is immediate financial leakage.
Leakage.
Yeah, this is primarily the floor plan interest we keep mentioning, but it's also the rapid depreciation of that asset, that car, just sitting idle on the lot, losing value every day. And eventually, they have to apply costly incentives, you know, big discount, just to move the metal. And that just erodes whatever profit margin was there to begin with.
That's the classic problem, right? Too many units means steep discounts, which can also signal weakness in the market, maybe even hurt the brand's value over time.
Exactly. Now, contrast that with the shift to understocking. DS too low, very low availability.
Mm.
The consequences here are maybe less visible on the immediate balance sheet, but they are arguably more damaging long term.
How so?
Understocking leads to, well, high customer satisfaction index failure. That's CSI. Basically, frustrated buyers who just go somewhere else.
Yeah. I've been there.
And crucially, as we established, it potentially leads to reduced future manufacturer allocation.
Yeah.
They don't get the cars later.
Wow. Okay. That's a fascinating layer of complexity. The challenge isn't just about losing the sale today.
No.
It's potentially damaging the relationship with the manufacturer, which then limits the dealership's capacity to make future sales. So the balance challenge impacts their entire pipeline directly.
It really creates a kind of compound interest effect on failure, if you think about it. A dealer who, chronically understocks might seem profitable for a moment because, sure, they have minimal floor plan costs.
Right, low overhead.
But they'll likely never grow because the manufacturer might view them as unable to handle or maybe unwilling to risk higher volume. The source material really emphasizes that true sustainable success is about maintaining that optimal DS range to unlock better allocation from the manufacturer.
Okay, so this all boils down to the fact that vehicle availability, what you see on the lot, it isn't some passive state. It's the highly volatile output of a really complex managerial system operating right there at the dealership.
That's a great way to put it.
The availability you experience when you walk onto a lot is a direct, measurable reflection of how accurately that local team forecasted demand and how successfully they negotiated or managed their supply.
And crucially, it highlights why that terminology from the source's challenge and balance is so accurate. It's not about finding some static equilibrium. It's about kinetic management, constant adjustment.
Kinetic management. I like that.
Yeah, constantly adjusting price, local marketing, tweaking their ordering, all to keep that DS metric within the ideal operational window. A window that, as we said, often varies by just a few days. It's that precise.
We've definitely extracted the essential insight from our source material today, then. The fundamental challenge of vehicle availability centers on how local dealerships attempt to manage and financially survive this necessary balancing act between the often volatile forces of supply and demand.
Right.
It is the dealership that absorbs the risk and has to execute this complex strategy.
And we saw that by focusing on specific metrics like day supply and real-world costs like floor plan financing, we understand this is far more than just, you know, Econ 101. It's a high-stakes, increasingly data-driven operational necessity for these businesses.
Yeah.
This balancing act determines their profitability, the customer experience they deliver, and ultimately their future growth prospects.
So we've seen that the sources define the problem very clearly, isolating the point of friction, the dealership, and the costs of failure, both immediate and long-term. If managing vehicle availability is fundamentally defined as this challenge of balance that occurs specifically at the dealership, our final thought for you, the listener, to consider is this. Does the source material give us clues about the dealership's greatest weapon in alleviating this relentless pressure? Is it primarily about having superior demand forecasting technology, getting those predictions right? Or does the real power ultimately reside in skillfully utilizing dynamic pricing strategies, those incentives and deals, to artificially align customer demand with the supply they already have sitting on the lot?
That's a great question to ponder. Tech versus tactics.
Something to mull over the next time you see a car ad promoting a sudden, very limited time incentive. What part of the balance are they trying to adjust?